Hello, EAA. Fast Eddie here with Dave Mathewson, who is the president of the Academy of Model Aeronautics. Good morning.
Good morning, Eddie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Dave. It's great to have you out here at Oshkosh this year. I know you guys are very heavily involved with EAA. You just recently signed, a pact of cooperation or something like that?
We did. In late May, Tom and I signed a memorandum of agreement pledging to work together on programs that not only support our individual missions, but help increase awareness and interest in aviation in general. We're really excited about that and looking forward to the opportunities that presents.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, we all know that modeling and flying man-carrying aircraft, very much the same, just a different perspective.
You know, they are, the thing that's interesting, and we did a little, there was a little ceremony over in the museum last night dedicating the EAA's new model aviation exhibit, and Tom asked the question of the audience. He asked how many folks sitting in the audience were both modelers and full-scale aviators, and three-quarters of the folks in that audience raised their hand, and I think that underscores the connection between our two organizations.
That's incredible. I knew there was a lot of crossover. I didn't realize it was that much.
I think we were all a little surprised last night.
Well, that's a good thing, too, because you can fly a model airplane in a lot of weather that you necessarily can't fly a full-scale in either.
Well, you can, and you know, I've been modeling since I was a kid. I started with my dad when I was 8 years old, and when circumstances were right, I took full-scale flying lessons and became a full-scale pilot. So there's a lot of crossover between what we do as full-scale pilots and modelers. I was out here at AirVenture years ago when ultralights were first becoming popular, and I can remember walking down the ultralight line, and I think it was Fisher had a booth down there. And they were selling their ultralights, and I was looking at the plans and the kits, and frankly, they were big model airplanes. And if you can build a model airplane, you can build an experimental airplane.
That's for sure. There's been a lot of similarities with that. As a matter of fact, I have seen advertisements in magazines stating exactly that, if you can build a model, you can build a full-scale aircraft.
Absolutely.
So what's the exhibit all about over there at the EAA Museum?
Well, it does a great job of telling the history and the story of model aviation, but what I found real interesting about that exhibit was that virtually all of the models in that exhibit are on loan from EAA members. And that tells me, and then I looked at going down through the exhibit, you look at the wings, and half the wings had AMA numbers on them. So again, I think that speaks to the similarities between our two organizations and the crossover between modelers and full-scale aviators.
That is, once again, it's one of those crossover points. People don't realize that if you can fly a model airplane, chances are you've got a very good chance at being able to fly the full scale as well.
I think so.
And in this day and age of prototype aircraft being so expensive, many airplanes start out as radio control models these days. It's a cheap way of making a prototype.
Well, and you know, it reminds me of a story that I heard just recently. Hoot Gibson, who's an AMA ambassador and national spokesperson for model aviation, was telling a story about John Kuiker. And John worked for NASA. And when the space shuttle program was first being developed, they were trying to decide how they were going to get the space shuttle back and forth across country from Edwards back to Kennedy Space Center. And initially, the concept was that they were going to retrofit the shuttle with a propulsion system and actually fly it back to Kennedy. And John Kuiker looked at this and said, this isn't workable, it's not practical, because once it gets back there, of course, you've got to take all that equipment back off and reformat it for space flight. So John proposed the idea to NASA that they actually put the space shuttle on top of a 747 and fly it back. Well, NASA initially declined that suggestion, didn't think it was workable, and John Kuiker proved otherwise because he built a replica of a 747, he built a model replica of a space shuttle, and flew it as a radio-controlled model and proved that it could be done, and because of that, NASA changed their mind.
Not only did he do that, I remember this story. My brother's making sounds. We'll get back to that in just a second. I think he's going to get back to me.
I've got you all the way cranked up here. He's telling me the level is off. Let's get you a little closer here.
All right.
Try to do that. Keep the interns from him.
All right, we'll go. Now, I remember that. I remember that story. Not only did they go and fly it to prove that they could fly the shuttle back that way, but they also did the separation test, which led to the test flights of the Enterprise.
Exactly.
As well. They were able to separate it in flight, and each pilot was capable of independently flying the aircraft, and the rest is history.
That's right. And that model now, both those models are in our museum at the National Model Aviation Museum in Muncie.
Oh, nice. I'd like to see that someday. Well, hopefully I'll pop out there next year. You never know. But what else is going on with the exhibit?
Well, you know, as part of the exhibit, and I spoke a little bit earlier about EAA and AMA working together to encourage more young folks to get involved in aviation, and that's going to be our focus over the next year. You know, EAA has a tremendous program in their Young Eagles program, and through Young Eagles, over 1.5 million kids have had an opportunity to fly in an airplane. And of course, AMA has our AeroLab program, and that was a program that was funded through the Alcoa Foundation, and it's really used to introduce model aviation as a tool in the classroom to teach STEM courses like science, technology, engineering, and math. And of course, we have our club outreach program, which has introduced thousands of kids and hundreds of communities throughout the country to model aviation. And we think by combining our two efforts and working to build on the successes of the programs that we already have and work together on new programs we'll need to stop that and do that over again.
All right, do it again. Go ahead.
Just from that part?
Yeah.
I think working together and building on the successes of those two programs, our intent really is to spark an interest in kids in aviation, but more so it's to spark an interest in kids in aviation that lasts a lifetime.
Well, you know, speaking of inspiring kids, there are so many ways to inspire them nowadays. There are the flight simulators, both model and for full-scale aircraft, plus the field of park flyers and everything. Nowadays, getting into a radio control model airplane is not that big an investment anymore with these new ready-to-fly park flyers and stuff. I know I have a couple of them at home that I like to putter around with. And it's really something, because the kids will get on the simulator and they'll fly these little park flyers around. And then you give them the real thing, and after a couple of minutes, they're out there flying like aces.
Well, and you know, I've seen it. And kids today pick this up so fast, it's incredible. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, and that was back long before ready-to-fly airplanes were available, and it was long before electric power systems were available. And you spent literally a winter building an airplane,
building a model airplane.
And, of course, in the springtime when you went and fly it, you kept your fingers crossed that you could keep it flying all year long. Well, things have changed so dramatically in the last few years that electric power has really changed this hobby dramatically. And the proliferation of these small electric-powered models has really opened the door up to a lot of young folks getting involved in modeling at a very reasonable cost.
It's really something, too, because my nephew, my brother and I, we all fly radio control models out of his backyard. And my nephew, outside of a couple of little tips and pointers from his dad and I, basically learned to fly off a simulator. Very little instruction was given to this young man. He picked it up. He makes us both look bad. He really does.
You're not alone there, because that happens quite often. But, you know, simulators are also, you know, it's not just the kids and the entry-level modelers that are using simulators, but even the professionals and the experts that fly in the national competitions and the world competitions, they all use simulators now to perfect their routines.
It certainly is a lot less expensive, and you're not dependent on the weather. And I know the guys with the helicopters, I just saw some video of one of these helicopter meets. Oh, my aching eyes, the things they're doing with those helicopters is just scary.
Well, it's I don't know how they do it, because it's got to be just all in the mind, because you can't move that fast, you can't react that fast. These kids just know what they're doing, and it comes from their head back down to their hands that are on the sticks, and it just happens. But these kids are incredible, and they do all this practicing, like you said, on a simulator. And the neat thing about a simulator is if something goes wrong and you make a mistake, you push that little red button, and the whole thing is put back together
yep.
again, and you
yep.
go on to fly the next flight.
All you've done is you've just pushed around some electrons,
yep.
and you've made an imaginary hole in the ground. And I'll tell you, way back when I was learning to fly, I wish I could have had a simulator there. It would have made a big difference.
I think it would for all of us.
But you know what? We learned the hard way, and I feel we're better pilots for it. So,
okay, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that. Now, you guys have a significant presence over at Kid Venture, too.
We do. Our AMR air show team is over at Kid Venture this week. And we're giving kids an opportunity to fly model, take a look at some of the other models on static display over there. They do a great job for us. Actually, they've got some simulators set up over there. So if the kids here at AirVenture this week have some time, they should go over and take a flight on a model and take a flight on a simulator.
Sounds like a good time.